Watchdog Radio is proud to announce our newest sponsor of the program, John Davies, a realtor from Remax Select Realty. Are you looking to buy your first home? Do you need a larger home for a growing family? Do you want to move to a smaller home after raising your family? Hey, with the lowest rates in years, now is a great time to buy or sell your home. John Davies is a Remax Select Realty agent can assist you in achieving your desired objectives. John is very passionate about helping you sell your home quickly or to help you buy that new home. In applying his experience and skills, John will steer you through this complex process of buying or selling your home. Call John Davies at 724-779-1395 to get him working for you. He has been involved in real estate for now over 25 years and is a member of one of the most productive real estate sales teams in southwestern Pennsylvania. Call John Davies at 724-779-1395. You can also find John Davies at watchdogradio.org. If you're looking to buy a house or refinance to a lower rate, there's no better time than now, and there's no better man to help you with that process than Jeff Lagone of Victorian Finance. Call Jeff at 724-986-4434. That's 724-986-4434. Rates are at an all-time low, and Jeff is the best in the mortgage business. I know Jeff Lagone. He has done hundreds of loans for my clients. Call Jeff at 724-986-4434.
Good morning. Welcome to Watchdog Radio. It's Saturday morning, March 24th. And if this voice doesn't sound familiar, it's because Todd Marley is taking a week off, but he guarantees you he'll be back and be watchman until next week. This is Bill Bean speaking. As you well know, I've co-hosted with Todd for some time. And this morning we have a very, very interesting and informative show for you involving the aspects involved with the President of the United States in terms of being a U.S. citizen. So we'll come back to that in just a second, but first I want to honor our sponsors and say thanks to all of them for supporting Watchdog and helping us all be watchmen. And also, before we start the show and introduce our special guest that we have with us today, I want to talk about what Todd has planned for May the 18th to benefit the Wounded Warrior Project. Doors were open at 4 o'clock out at Console Energy Park, which is also where the Washington Wild Things play their ball games right off of Interstate 70. There will be a number of entertainers there, and the headline entertainer will be Daryl Worley. Rose Tennant will also be there, the Quinn and Rose Show from 104.7. And you can get your tickets at Ticketmaster at 1-800-745-3000. Also, if you want to make a donation for the event with the proceeds going to the Wounded Warrior Project, you can do that by sending a check to Watchdog Radio at 1056 Route 519, 84 Pennsylvania, 15330. Lastly, for those of you that have a business or a project that you want to promote, Todd has made available tables that you can rent for $300. We're expecting 6,000 to 8,000 people there. And for those $300, you can promote your goods, promote your business. And the following day, the Chamber of Commerce is also holding an event at the stadium, and you may hold the table throughout the Chamber of Commerce event for the same $300 cost. So we encourage all of you to get behind the Wounded Warrior Project. These are people that have offered their limbs and bodies for our country. And let's make a big showing and generate funds for this very worthwhile project that Todd has put together for, again, May the 18th at the Washington Wild Things Stadium, Console Energy Park. Now, let me talk about our guest here today. We have two guests that have been actively involved with the natural born citizen aspect of the presidential prerequisites, being on the phone, Commander Charles Kirchner. And Commander, can you hear me okay?
Yes, I can hear you fine.
Okay, I believe in talking with you yesterday. You're retired military, and I believe you told me you were in for 33 years. Does that sound right?
Combined active and reserve time, 33 years.
So we certainly thank you for your service. We also have in the studio with me Karen Kiefer, who serves as Mr. Kirchner's attorney. And Karen, would like to welcome you. You live down in Fayette County, I believe.
Well, Westmoreland County.
Westmoreland County, very close
just
to Fayette County.
Just on the cusp.
Yes. Good to have you here.
Good to be here.
And Bill Steiner is with us, who's a friend that shares many of our concerns about the direction of our country today. Bill, welcome to the studio.
Thank you very much, Bill. I'm very pleased to be here.
And we have a couple of guests in the studio, Judith Brown from the Republican Committee, State Committee, and also Richard Dillon, who's been very active and concerned with our restoration and preservation of our great country as well. So with that behind us, I'd like to start off, Commander, with you and ask you to give us a quick rundown as to how you got involved and how you viewed the situation with our current president, Barack Obama, involving the prerequisites for even holding the office.
Well, I started noticing the man in the Oval Office at present early in 2008 and started to follow what he was saying and tried to learn more about who he was. And as soon as I started looking for information of who he was, there was a complete vacuum there, and I kept digging more and more, and what I did find became troubling to me, and I kept watching this and researching, because I always did sort of watch national politics and always been concerned about the direction my country is going. And then around June of 2008, of course, the issue with his birth certificate surfaced, and that it was a forgery. And now that I got even more concerned, and I got active on the Internet in July of 2008 and started writing and blogging about this. And by the end of the year, of course, he had won the election despite all the citizenry saying there got to be an investigation. They did investigate John McCain in the spring of 2008 as to his natural-born citizen status, but despite all the pleas of citizens that the Congress investigate Obama, they just had to turn a deaf ear to it. Nobody didn't even answer the letters. They just ignored it. But see, when he wins the election, and then I just felt something had to be done, and then in the middle of January of 2009, I brought a lawsuit in the federal courts challenging Obama's natural-born citizenship status and suing also the United States Congress for lack of due process and equal protection under the Constitution, because they vetted McCain but not Obama. They were turning a deaf ear to the people who had concerns about Obama.
Commander, I think that it may be worthwhile for you to talk a little bit about what natural-born citizen means for many of our listeners.
Okay.
A lot of people are unfamiliar with that terminology, and where did it come from?
All right, I will do that. And that's important. We're not talking about whether Obama is a citizen of the United States. It's whether he's a natural-born citizen. Language means something. Adjectives mean something. The words natural-born in front of the word citizen of the United States, or the phrase citizen of the United States, is very important. And this natural-born citizen is only used one place in the U.S. Constitution, and that is the eligibility standards for the president of the United States, who also is the commander-in-chief. Natural-born comes from the natural law. Natural law is the basis of all human interactions over thousands of years. People have come to sort of a general consensus that certain things are understood and universally accepted. And a natural-born citizen in natural law is a person born with sole allegiance to one country, or in the olden times, or one tribe or one nation. And it's a person who's born in the country of two citizens of that country. So there's no question of the person's allegiance to that tribe, nation, country. And it's from time immemorial that if you were born in the tribe to two members of that tribe, there's no question of your loyalty, and you could become the chief of that tribe someday, and you wouldn't have people whispering and a lack of trust in you, because they would say, well, oh, he's not one of us. He was born, his father was from the Odinga tribe over the hill, so we can't trust him to be the chief, you know? So it's all that's the basis of it. It's natural law, the laws of nature. And it was codified, natural law was codified in a legal treatise written in 1758 called the Law of Nations or Principles of Natural Law. And it, right in there, it states in Volume 1, Chapter 19, Section 212, the definition of a natural-born citizen is one born in the country of two citizens of that country. And that legal treatise was, along with the Bible, was the two most used and referenced books by the founders of this country and the framers of the Constitution.
So that would make it look like the founders were trying to protect our country into the future after their lifetime.
Absolutely.
By having people who are loyal to our country serve our country.
Well, it was a national security issue, Bill. Because the president was to be the commander-in-chief of the military. John Jay wrote a letter to General George Washington, who was the president of the Constitutional Convention, and said Hamilton had a proposal that he'd just be a born citizen, meaning born in the United States, like the 14th Amendment grants citizenship by born in the United States. But John Jay said, no, because we want a stronger check on foreign influence on the man who would be the president and the commander of our armies. He wrote this in a letter. And I strongly suggest that you put in the clause natural born citizen, which they knew from the legal treatise of the law of nations or principles of natural law written by Emir de Vattel in 1758. And they had three copies available to them by Dumas from Netherlands of the 1775 edition. We know this because Benjamin Franklin thanked Dumas for sending them to them to help them in their deliberations in the Continental Congress stage. So we know they were using it, and were using it heavily, and they were using it to form a new form of government, a constitutional republic, which is what Vattel wrote about. And they wanted to be sure that in future generations, that this singular most powerful executive position in our country and commander of our military would never fall to a person who was born with foreign influence on them.
Very good. And
they wanted the person to be a child of citizens, children of citizens in the future. The original generation were exempt from this.
They didn't have
to be natural born. They couldn't be natural born. They were the original citizens. But from the future generations, once the founding generation was gone, the natural born citizen clause kicked in, and that means you had to be a second generation American by both parents. Second generation American by both parents. That's the best way of looking at it, the easiest way of looking at it.
And I believe that you were the plaintiff in several cases, one very recently that was taken to the Harrisburg Commonwealth Court, and I believe that Karen Kiefer represented you there. Karen, would you like to add a few words to explain what transpired and what the intent was, and perhaps where you and Commander Kirchner go from where you are today?
Thank you very much. Yes, I was the attorney of record in the Charles Kirchner and Dale Laudenschlager versus candidate Obama case that was filed in the Commonwealth Court earlier this year. And we never got to the merits of our case because the court refused to hear the case based on lack of jurisdiction. The fact that these types of challenges are being filed against this particular candidate across this land, from New Hampshire to Arizona and from Florida up to Alaska and from California to Pennsylvania, tells me that the citizens of this country know that there is a problem, that Obama is not a natural-born citizen. I don't think ever before in our nation's 236-year history have we, the people, risen up. We are the guardians of the republic. We know that, and we have risen up to challenge Obama's eligibility, candidate Obama's eligibility under the Article 2, Section 1 clause of the United States Constitution, which says that only a natural-born citizen is eligible for that office. So we did not prevail. As a matter of fact, attorney Philip Berg, who has been active, very active in the Democrat Party for many years, also brought a similar challenge. His challenge was thrown out on lack of jurisdiction grounds as well. And so at this point, I think that we are not going to appeal the decision because we never got to the merits of the case. Rather, at this point, I think we're going to pursue the matter in the criminal courts, because on the same day that we had our challenge in the Commonwealth Court in Harrisburg, Sheriff Joe Arpaio announced that his cold case posse had probable cause to believe that candidate Obama's birth certificate, his long-form birth certificate, and his Selective Service card are forged documents. And to anybody in the legal profession, when you say the words probable cause, that means that you have reached a threshold of evidence where arrest warrants and search and seizure warrants can be issued. And so at this point, what we're doing is we have petitioned our local county sheriff. In fact, several counties are involved right now in Pennsylvania in petitioning their local county sheriff to protect the integrity of their ballot. That is to be the conduit for the evidence that Sheriff Arpaio's Cold Case Posse has put together to get that evidence before our state attorney general to fully vet and investigate this candidate.
Very good. So, and Commander, have you had some involvement with Sheriff Arpaio and his case and how that might help your endeavor?
Well, I've been fully aware of what he's doing out there, and I have been indirectly involved in feeding information to various people who are in direct communications with him. But he's running a formal law enforcement investigation. So, you know, it's kind of like an arm's length thing because he cannot compromise his position in the sense of how he handles communications. It has to be strictly on the basis of reporting evidence, and then his team investigates, and which he did, and he filed his initial report. And we are not only not dealing with an ineligible person from the point of view of constitutional standards, we're dealing with a criminal, a con man, a fraud, a usurper, a grifter. A person who is going to lead this country to ruin following the Cloward-Piven's long-term strategy and the rules for radicals written by Saul Alinsky for short-term tactics. This man is not a natural-born citizen, and he does not even have a great affinity for our nation. He would like to see America ruined, in my opinion, and that's what the Cloward-Piven strategy is all about, is ruining the constitutional republic form of government and installing a fascist, dictatorial, socialistic government, because the people behind him and him believe that they know better how to run our country, and they just look at the Constitution as an obstacle, a block in their way, and they want to get rid of it. And we can't stand by and allow them to do that. I, as a commission officer, took an oath, which is strictly to support and defend the Constitution against all enemies, foreign and domestic. Not to support the president, not to support the Congress, but to support the Constitution. And I took that oath, and the end it says, so help me God. And I believe in God, and I'm standing up for my oath. And I've been fighting this man for over 4 years now, first in the federal courts, and that went all the way to the Supreme Court. And every door of the court system along the way, they shut the door. It never went to the merits. They just said you don't have standing or you don't have jurisdiction.
But we certainly talked about Cloward and Piven and Alinsky here on the Watchdog Show a few times before.
Well, they know all about it.
We know that they are very instrumental in starting a movement that we refer to typically as the progressive movement. We know that the socialists and the communists are tucked right in there with them. Karen, you had something else you wanted to add here.
Yes, the fact that Sheriff Joe Arpaio has announced that he has probable cause to believe that the birth certificate was a forgery, if you think about it, that means we don't even know the identity of the person who is occupying 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue, Washington, D.C.
Isn't that terrible?
We don't know the identity. So we can't even move to the question as to whether or not he is constitutionally eligible under Article 2 as a natural-born citizen to occupy the office. We don't know who he is. We don't know his identity. And this is a candidate who, when he was campaigning, he talked so much about transparency, and yet all of his records are sealed.
And Karen, didn't you show me shortly before the show today that the various candidates that signed their affidavit here in Pennsylvania to be on the ballot, is that what you showed me? And all of them have signed their affidavit except one here for the upcoming 2012 election. Is that correct?
Yes. When we were investigating in preparation for the ballot challenge that Commander Kirchner brought, we pulled the affidavits of each of the Republican candidates for office as well as candidate Obama's. We also pulled the nomination petitions that the Republican Party and the Democrat Party filed back in 2008, and we found a very interesting thing. The four Republican candidates had all signed their affidavit, you know, alleging that they are eligible for the office that they seek. Obama did not sign his. Not only that, in 2008, the Republican nomination papers indicated that John McCain was constitutionally eligible and that he was their nominee for the office of president. The Democrat nomination papers only said that Barack Obama was their nominee. It was silent as to his eligibility for the office.
So basically, we the people have no vehicle to hold this man accountable if he can get away with not even signing an affidavit to be on the ballot. This is very harmful to our constitutional republic, is it not?
It is, and that's where we are left. We are left without a remedy in the civil courts, and that's why we are pursuing it from a criminal standpoint. But that does comply with Pennsylvania law. Pennsylvania has a statute that indicates that the president is exempted. The person or the candidate
really?
Running for president of the United States is exempt from filing an affidavit. So,
but that's the political parties have put all these loopholes in so they can run whoever they want, and in particular the Democratic Party is now dominated by the Progressive Caucus, which is, quite frankly,
yes.
in my opinion, a fifth column, a subversive element within that party that has gotten control of it.
Goes way
back to the Fabian Society. I just wanted to say one more quick point about the legal identity of Mr. Obama in the Oval Office. He is the first person to ever reside in an office whose father was a foreign national. Since the founding generation, we've had no one ever to run or even try to run whose father was not even an immigrant to this country. Obama's father was not an immigrant. He was not only not a citizen, he was never even an immigrant to this country. How in the world would the founders and framers who wanted no foreign influence on the person born in a person who was in the Oval Office as president, commander, military, to allow a person whose father was not even an immigrant, a complete foreign national? That it's unbelievable that the Democratic Party put him up, and that this was allowed to, the courts allowed this to happen.
Well, we're getting down to our last 4 or 5 minutes here, and let's pursue that at some length in the podcast. I want to turn it over to Bill Steiner for a second. He had a few comments that he wanted to add.
Yes, thank you very much, Bill, and hello, everyone. My background is in psychological testing, 30 years of it. I'm retired. 21 and a half of that was in the Pennsylvania prison system. And I saw very early on the type of personality that we were dealing with here. And I can tell you that the consequences of electing a person like this are horrific at best. And I was assured that we would see this wave of destruction and chaos, which follows most criminals, especially at this level of quality, if we might say. Ambassador Alan Keyes, before the 2008 election, was quoted in saying that if Obama is elected as president, he will destroy this country. And I think he was correct in that. I go back to just a minute here with Orly Tates and Carl Swenson, back to 2007, of April 2007. I spent some time with Orly Tates and Carl Swenson, both early principals in this battle. And Carl was filed the original de jure grand jury finding of ineligibility in Georgia, and then lost the court case.
You mean 2009, Bill? If I may correct you,
yes,
2009, not 2007.
That's correct. But my involvements go back to 2007 with both Carl and Orly. Mm-hmm. So I've been involved in this for quite some time, and the details of all that are on the web. But I just wanted to add my comments here that from my standpoint, with the background I have in the prison system, that we're dealing with a difficult personality. Thank you.
Okay, we're drawing down to the end of the podcast period here. And I know, Commander, that you have ways that the listeners can stay abreast of your endeavor, both a website and a blog. And I'd like for you to have the opportunity to tell our listeners how they can become more involved, and also tell them what your contact information is.
All right, my blog is a WordPress blog, and it's CDR Kirchner. That's CDR Kirchner, K-E-R-C-H-N-E-R, CDR Kirchner, all one word, .wordpress.com. That's where I blog and write. And then I have a website where I have lots of information about this issue. It's protectourliberty.org. Protectourliberty. It's O-U-R in there. Protectourliberty.org. And at that website, you can see all kinds of educational material on what a natural-born citizen is. And there's about 90 full-page ads that were published in the Washington Times over the last 3.5 years about this issue, trying to educate the people in the print media who don't use, that was a national edition of the Washington Times, that don't use the Internet. But there's been a cone of silence imposed upon us, the American electorate, on this issue. They don't want us to learn the truth. And this is because the two political parties are in cahoots to get rid of the natural born citizen clause in the Constitution. The Republic, the people ask why the Republicans don't speak out. It's because they too want to run non-natural born citizens. Marco Rubio is an example. He was born Cuban. His parents were Cuban citizens when he was born. They did not naturalize. At least they were immigrants, unlike Obama. His father wasn't even an immigrant. Well, Marco's parents were immigrants, but his father particularly was an immigrant, but he was still Cuban when Marco was born, so Marco was not born of two citizens, and therefore is not a natural-born citizen. It takes two lions to make a lion, two tigers to make a tiger. It takes two citizens of a country to make a natural-born citizen of a country.
Well, I'd like to thank all of you, Karen, Bill, and Commander, for being with us on the radio with the radio audience this morning. And before we sign off, I'd like to once more remind everybody of the Wounded Warrior Project on May the 18th out at the Washington Wild Thing Stadium. It's also known as the Console Energy Park. And also you people that have businesses and projects that you can set up a table for $300 where you can promote your business and projects to, we believe, 6,000 to 8,000 people. And also, the following day, the Chamber of Commerce will be there, and your table will be there for you on that day at no additional charge. Daryl Worley will be the host performer, and there will be other entertainers, including Rose from 104.7 here in Pittsburgh. Signing off, join us on the podcast.
Concerned about retirement? What about the dollar? Since 1996, Marley Financial Group has not had a single retirement plan fail. How, you may ask? Through prudent planning and comprehensive study of economic and political trends. For retirement planning and asset protection, call 724-884-1496. That's 724-884-1496, or you can visit them on the web at marleyfg.com. Marley Financial Group has always been independent, never beholden to Wall Street or big banks. Call 724-884-1496 to schedule an appointment. Over the last few months, the dollar has plunged over 20%. Ben Bernanke has promised an unlimited amount of quantitative easing. In other words, he will print money and continue to deflate the dollar. Precious metals such as gold and silver have maintained their purchasing power for thousands of years. If you are concerned or would like to hedge against the destruction of your dollar, contact Protective Precious Metals today. You can reach them at 412-997-3627 or on the web at protectivepreciousmetals.com. There are monthly purchasing plans available and all transactions are private. Contact Protective Precious Metals today at 412-997-3627 or protectivepreciousmetals.com.
Welcome, everybody, to the podcast. We just finished up, and Commander, you were wanting to make an addition right at the end of the podcast, but we were down to the last few seconds, so we're going to open up and give it to you. For those that have tuned in on the podcast that didn't hear the radio show, Commander Charles Kirchner is with us this morning, who is very active in pursuing the assurance that the presidential candidates have the right prerequisites. With us in the studio today is Karen Kiefer, who has served as the attorney for the commander in a recent case in Harrisburg and is working with him for future cases as well, and also Bill Steiner, who is a longtime activist and a person who has great concerns for the future of our country as well. So with that as an introduction for the podcast, Commander, I'm going to turn it over to you.
Well, I wanted to just quickly say I'm sorry for interrupting at the end there. I didn't realize how close you were to the end. But people have got to try to help to break this cone of silence. And I was going to suggest to all the listeners that they write letters to the editors of all their newspapers and start demanding that the newspapers report on this. That was a suggestion I was trying to get out there. People have got to start demanding that this cone of silence be lifted.
Okay, that's a very good point, and I'm sure Todd and I've already made a note of it here right now as we're talking, and we'll make sure that we pass that on to the radio people at our next week's show as well.
You know.
Okay, that was the point I was trying to make. Other than that, Bill, if you have any more questions, I'd be happy to answer them. I'm sure my attorney would and Bill would.
Yes.
Well, I'd like to hear you talk a little bit about your Supreme Court case that you told me about yesterday.
Okay.
All right? Because somehow or the other, it seems to me like that our designated authorities that have responsibility for supporting the constitutional laws should be involved in something that is bothering the American people to the extent this is. And Commander, what you told me yesterday was something I didn't know. I guess I'm an uninformed citizen in many respects. But in your case there, you don't really even know which Supreme Court justices voted in which direction, is from what you told me. So
right.
Give all of us a little bit of a lesson as to what happens when you take something to the Supreme Court that you believe, I believe, and probably the vast majority of Americans believe should be ruled upon by that body.
Yes, the purpose of the Supreme Court in our system, in the Constitution, is to interpret the United States Constitution where there's some disagreement as to words, what the words mean. And they have completely ducked the issue on the clause natural-born citizen, which never before has been adjudicated as it applies to Article 2, Section 1 of the Constitution, that is, to who can be the president. It's never before been brought to the courts to adjudicate this at the Supreme Court level, and they just completely ducked it. And as far as there's 9 members of the Supreme Court, and I was telling you yesterday that they have what they call the rule of 9 and the rule of 7. The rule of 9 is when all 9 justices are ethically eligible to vote. They have no conflict of interest, financial or otherwise. And you need 4 votes of the 9 in conference to when they discuss the writs of certiorari, which is a petition for the Supreme Court to take a case and decide an issue being brought to it, which was my filing. It worked the way up the federal court system till it got to the Supreme Court. And the rule of 9 says that you need 4 members of that conference to forward it to a full hearing, and 5 then in the full hearing to win it. So there were 2 justices there, Kagan and Sotomayor, who were appointed by Obama. So we specifically requested, we insisted that they not participate in the conference because they have a conflict of interest. Their very job, their very salary, their very lifetime appointment would stand or fall based on the decision in this case if it got to the Supreme Court and it was proven that Obama was not eligible. His appointments, therefore, would be illegal, and they'd be removed. So they should not have participated in that conference, but yet they did. They voted unethically. You don't know how they voted because they only tell you who abstains. They don't tell you who voted and how they voted. It's assumed that everybody who doesn't abstain has voted. They don't tell you how they voted. Now, we've always, in watching the other cases and talking to people that supposedly know people or whatever, they always said we think we have 3 justices in the Supreme Court who wanted to take up the Obama eligibility issue and define once and for all what a natural-born citizen was. Going back even to the summer of 2008, when the Byrd case in Pennsylvania was brought and he got it up to the Supreme Court real quickly, he skipped the appeals court. But anyway, there always was 3. Now, if 2 people would have abstained, Kagan and Sotomayor, it would have been down to 7 justices, then the rule of 7 would apply, which means only 3 people are needed to take it out of conference and 4 to win the case. So the inside the beltway scuttlebutt was that Kagan and Sotomayor had to vote, even though it was unethical for them to do it. By their own court rules, it was unethical. But nobody can appeal a Supreme Court justice's decision. There's no higher court. So you're stuck. So they can break their own rules and get away with it. So they voted to make the rule of 9 in effect that the fourth, they would need 4 votes to get it out of conference. And the fourth vote that will not allow out of conference is the Chief Justice himself, Roberts. He's the one that's been blocking this, all these cases from being taken up from the very beginning.
Well, this makes me think of what is happening here today in Washington, D.C., where a group is going there to try to spur the Supreme Court to do their job, in my opinion. They know the American people want to know. You know, the polls tell them the American people want to know.
They have been intimidated by what I believe are the threats of violence that have been passed around the halls of power down there, that if they remove the elected president, even though the Constitution says that you have to be eligible, you just don't win the popular vote. But they have been intimidated that there will be riots in the cities, that Obama will stoop to the level of stirring up a race war in the cities. 100 cities will burn, and that they don't want to touch it. That's what, and also the ridicule machine from the from the mainstream media, which is totally who put Obama in office and totally supports him staying there, the charge of racism, et cetera. So they don't want to touch it. And yet the person who's most probably vocal on the Supreme Court that wanted to take up this issue is Justice Thomas, a black man himself. He himself,
yes,
I believe, wants to take up this case. And Alito does, and Scalia does. The person blocking this is the Chief Justice himself. That's why we can't get it. We can't get the get a petition out of conference.
Is there anything that we, the people, can do, Karen, to our bill to try to support this, other than going there and occupying Washington, D.C. for a few hours?
That might not be a bad idea. You know, this brings back the thought of Ben Franklin. He said, when the woman asked him in Philadelphia what he had given us, and he said, "We've given you a republic if you can keep it." A republic is a difficult thing to keep because it depends for its lifeblood on a just and godly judicial system based on the rule of law and not the rule of men. Our forefathers established the republic, and we cannot just stand idly by watching the law be ignored and subverted to meet politically correct ends, or because we're afraid to face the consequences. Either the Constitution is the supreme law of the land or not, and those who seek to reinterpret it or ignore constitutional requirements to meet their own ends are not patriots in my mind, but enemies of the republic. Commander Kirchner is a son of the American Revolution, and as he indicated, a retired Navy commander. I am a daughter of the Revolution. Our roots go very deep, and we honor and rever the Constitution, and that's why we are asserting justice must be blind. It does not matter who the candidate may be. If they do not meet the eligibility requirements under the Constitution for the office they seek, then they must be kept off our ballot. And toward that end, as I indicated previously, we are pursuing this matter in the criminal courts through our sheriff. And I would encourage your listeners, if they are concerned about the sanctity of our ballot box, that is being usurped. We all know it. As a matter of fact, I had a judge down in Fayette County from the bench with a full courtroom say, "We all know he's a fraud." So if others are concerned about the sanctity of their ballot, to go to their local county sheriff and ask that he stand with Sheriff Joe Arpaio and get this either vetted and investigated by our state attorney general or by Congress. We have already seen that Congress is not willing to take it up. So perhaps the best way to proceed is through the criminal courts, through the attorney general.
Let me share you a quote from history.
Yes.
They are trying to avoid violence, they say, by not taking this up. They're putting it off, the Neville Chamberlain approach. But John F. Kennedy said, "Those who make peaceful revolution impossible make violent revolution inevitable." I paraphrase that and say, those who make peaceful resolution via the court system make violent resolution inevitable. They have blocked the citizens from getting justice in the court system, which is there to provide justice. And they say they're doing this because they don't want to have violence, because Obama will stoop to and instigate a race war to stay in power. They're gonna destroy the Constitution. The whole country's gonna fall apart, and we're gonna end up in a civil war eventually because of this. Because we are not gonna allow a dictator to take over.
I'd like to add a few things, Bill Steiner here. The media's complicity in this and the cover-ups that are going on, I had a few emails come in this morning, and I encourage everyone to Google this subject material if they want more detail. I believe that the media at this point has abandoned their obligation under the First Amendment, even though they wish to continue enjoying the privileges of that fine amendment, the First. And they have no problem enjoying the privileges, but will take no responsibility. And we have what appears to be a cover-up and a complicity going on here. In fact, you can't find much of anything in our press about this. I'm looking at an article that was sent to me. It's entitled, "Arizona Sheriff Finds Obama Presidential Qualifications Forged." And where did it come from? Pravda, the old propaganda arm of the USSR. And you can find that by searching that title, Sheriff Arpaio, whatever, but Pravda, PRAVDA.RU is where you'll find it in the former Soviet Union. The details are just too much to go into in the short time that we have here. But Sheriff Arpaio did find probable cause to show that Obama's birth records that he published are forgeries, and that also his Selective Service card is a forgery. All of his records are sealed, and we have no idea who this guy is. Furthermore, it even goes one step further, that Commander Fitzpatrick, Walter Francis Fitzpatrick III, an activist in this area, has published an article just very recently, Take the Evidence to the Grand Jury. Document forgery is a crime everywhere, locally and nationally. That's another one I was looking at. And another one we have here is that on the WorldNet Daily is that the Democrat sues to boot Obama from the ballot. And these are high-level people in other states. This is going on all over the country. And let me just close this notion with these thoughts. You're going to look like a kook, as many of us have, pushing this material to other people as individuals. But three is a crowd. And I think that if you take two other people with you who are relatively informed, you do this peacefully, but specifically and forcefully, go to your local newspapers, go to your governmental officials, and take some documents along, single-subjected, and say, look, we're very concerned about this issue. We want you to be aware of it. And in case of newspapers and TV, ask them specifically why aren't they publishing this material, and follow up the phone calls until they do.
And he could take the filings presented by Attorney Kiefer to the court of Pennsylvania, which turned a blind eye to it. The evidence that she put forth in that case in writing is all that you need on the natural born citizen issue, and Sheriff Arpaio's report is all you need on the criminal issues. Not only is the birth certificate forged, but his draft registration card is forged.
Where can the listeners find your petition, Karen? Is there a place on the website?
They can get it by my Squibb account.
Okay.
Unless Attorney Kiefer's got one directly for herself.
No, I do not.
No.
All
okay.
Right. Well, you could go to the filings at my Squibb account for the Protect Our Liberty webpage I have. So it would be www.scribd, which is spelled S-C-R-I-B-D, at scribd.com, www.scribd.com/Protect Our Liberty. And when you get to that site, there's collections, and just select the collection for legal filings, and then they can read all of Attorney Kiefer's filings. The complaint is just three pages, and it spells it out right there in three pages why he's not eligible, and our concerns about it, we don't know his legal identity. And also there's a massive treatise by Attorney Mario Puzo, a constitutional scholar on Article 2, Section 1, and legal expert on citizenship, who submitted that, and guess what they did to this talented and scholarly lawyer? They would not even allow him, admit him pro hoc vici to the court system of Pennsylvania. When he's admitted to the United States Supreme Court, he can practice before the Supreme Court, but the Pennsylvania judicial system would not admit him because they were afraid of him. They did not want his material to be into the case and to have him a chance to speak. Attorney Kiefer can tell you that it's a normal procedure to admit an attorney to help a client. They didn't even give. They in effect violated my civil rights in a way, right, Attorney Kiefer, by not allowing him in.
That's correct. That's correct. As a matter of fact, a principle in the law that we learn in law school class one from day one is that however you can best serve the client, you do that. And if it's to bring in an attorney with particular expertise in a given area of the law, then you do that because you want to represent your client to the full extent possible under the law. And but that was not afforded.
Our judicial system is corrupted and controlled by the political parties. They either are doing the beck and call of the parties directly, or they are acting politically correctly because they don't want this aired because they're afraid there's going to be some short-term problems, maybe some short-term anarchist violence. But in the end, their Neville Chamberlain approach to handling this is going to lead to a far worse problem.
Well, before we leave this subject, I'd like for you to give that web address again, because I think there's many of our listeners that would like to read that petition. And while you're doing that, I don't believe on the podcast here we've given your blog address and your website address. So, Commander, why don't you repeat all three of those for our listeners, because I think it's important and many of them will want to stay abreast of this. By the way, I signed up after you and I talked yesterday on to follow you, okay? So, and I think there's going to be a lot of people that are listening to this show today that are going to do the same thing.
Okay. The paper filings for my Supreme Court case and for the Pennsylvania ballot challenge are at www.scribd.com/protectourliberty. So that, and Scribd is spelled S-C-R-I-B-D. So it's www.scribd.com/protectourliberty. And my website, which is also from that website, you could get to the Scribd account, is www.protectourliberty.org. Protect, O-U-R, liberty.org. And all my writings are done at my blog, which is commanderkirchner.wordpress.com, and commander is abbreviated, so it's C-D-R Kirchner, K-E-R-C-H-N-E-R, .wordpress.com. And if you get to my blog, there are links there to the Protect Our Liberty site and also to the Scribd legal filings account. So you can, if you can get to the one of them, you can get to all of them.
Thank you. Let me add that in a general perspective, I think there, this is Bill Steiner, that there is a general grape ripening process going on, and you must be a part of this. Everyone must come together, and it's an educational process. And when I say the grape is ripening, that nothing is going to happen until sufficient numbers of people in our nation become aware of what's going on and start complaining about it. And then, and maybe only then, the grape will have become sufficiently ripened for this to fall to the ground.
I'm afraid it's worse than that, Bill, though, because Congress is turning a complete deaf ear. They do not even answer letters on this. They're hiding your phone numbers. The only way you can get to your congressman anymore is to fax them. And you go to try to send an email, and they got an e-form. You can't even get an email address anymore for these guys. The newspapers are turning a blind eye. I think the only approach left is going to be the criminal courts, as Attorney Kiefer's talked about, and it's going to take people in the streets peacefully protesting to get Congress to do something. We need to get a million-man march in the streets in Washington, D.C., demanding a full congressional investigation of Obama's true legal identity with full subpoena powers and have people testifying under oath. And I'm sure, even if it's just to find out who put the forged documents on government property servers, who put them there? That's a crime in itself. And then who actually did them? And you'll get people, once you get those people, they'll start turning at, they'll plead for immunity. And we know who's behind this. Who benefited from these forgeries? Obama. Him and his crew are behind it. But we go after the lower level people first and work our way up that grapevine, and we will bring the truth to the surface. But I don't think we're going to be able to do this. We can start writing letters to editors and do all that, but I think it's going to take people in the streets peacefully protesting and not go home until there's an advocate. What is wrong with a congressional investigation? They can investigate how many heads of lettuce are growing on a field in New Jersey. They can investigate anything. Why won't they investigate the true legal identity of this man in the Oval Office when, at this point, about, I would say, 80% of the American people know there's a problem. Probably half of them believe that he's not eligible.
Well, to that point, we mentioned earlier there is a group that is in Washington, D.C. today on the 24th to encourage the Supreme Court to hear the Obamacare situation, and at the same time, I think we ought to be talking about this situation right here as to whether or not Obama himself is eligible, which is exactly what you're presenting. And also, I might say the American for Prosperity group is also planning an event to encourage the Supreme Court on the 27th, which is next Tuesday. I would encourage everyone who's listening to look for a bus. You can go on their website, American for Prosperity website, and they list the cities that are running buses in your area, and you can undoubtedly find a bus at a reasonable price. I've forgotten exactly what it is. Anybody know? I think it's like $10. Yeah, so it's almost a free ride to. So that anybody who can on Tuesday of next week join them, we certainly encourage that. Karen Kiefer just signals she'll be there. Bill Steiner said he would be there. I'm going to be there, and our other two guests in the studio here, Richard Dillon and Judy Brown, are going to be there. So with all of us being there, my goodness, you have to come on next Tuesday. We're getting close to the end of the podcast time, and Commander, I want to thank you for coming on. I do want to comment one thing that I saw on your, I think it was your website yesterday, where you quoted one of my favorite quotes, which I think maybe we ought to all send to Chief Justice Stevens. And that's the quote of good old Norman Thomas. And I can't really do it verbatim, but basically Norman Thomas said, now by the way, for everybody who doesn't know Norman Thomas, you know, he's passed away, but he was a six-time candidate for the U.S. presidency on the socialist ticket back in the 20s and 30s. And Norman Thomas, we always say we don't want him to be a prophet. Norman Thomas said that the American people will, without knowing it, find themselves being a socialist country by adopting the liberal elements and wake up someday as a socialist state not knowing how it happened. And I saw that, Commander, on your website yesterday. I include that in virtually every presentation I make because what we're seeing to a large degree, and his birthright is a part of this, and he is in fact the leader along, and you mentioned the name George Soros yesterday, who's a favorite of mine as well, are doing everything they can to make Norman Thomas a prophet. I'd like to hear you comment.
Norman Thomas, I use that that quote below my signature on every blog post of mine. I've been doing that for years. But, you know, you have the Norman Thomases, and then you have the Saul Alinsky, which is a direct action guy, and he's the acorn tactics come right out of Saul Alinsky's Rules for Radicals, and then you've got the Cloward and Piven professors who the long-term strategy, which is they actually wrote this to bankrupt America by putting more and more entitlements. The weight of the poor shall collapse the system, and then they will manufacture a final crisis in the final stages, at which point the people will be so suffering and so crying out for a leader to take over and help them. And that's the Cloward-Piven strategy, then, that the Constitution will be thrown asunder and some charismatic man dictator will step forward and say, I have the answer to all your problems. Just give me the power to act. Get rid of that Constitution. And that's the Cloward-Piven strategy, and that's how Mussolini and Adolf Hitler got into power the same way, by creating crises, and then they stood before the people and said, give me the power and I'll solve your problems. And look where it led us. You know, tens of millions of people died because the...